We talked about it yesterday and maybe the day before. Hubert Davis hired to replace Roy Williams as head coach at the University of North Carolina, their basketball program. Probably, well, arguably the greatest NCAA program in the country. Duke certainly has an argument. If you go really historical, UCLA. But it's up there. And so it means something. I mean, he's the first African-American head coach at North Carolina. And he was asked about that yesterday at his introductory press conference, Rob. And it got bizarre. I'll just say that.
I think you said it right. I think you said it right. It got bizarre because he was on the right track.
Yeah, yeah. He started off okay. It got bizarre. And here's the sound.
It is significant, Steve. It's significant that I'm African-American and I'm the head coach here. It's significant. I know that in terms of Division I head coaches all around the country, only 26% of the head coaches for Division I men's basketball are compromised by minorities, specifically African-Americans. I know that it is significant that I'm the fourth African-American head coach in any sport in the history of the University of North Carolina. I'm very proud to be African-American. But I'm also very proud that my wife is white, and I'm very proud that my three beautiful, unbelievable kids are a combination of both of us.
What?
What?
Wow. Go ahead. I'm going to let you have first.
Then. All I'm going to say, Chris, is I don't understand the last part of that. Hubert Davis, where were you going? Chris, it's a monumental moment in North Carolina basketball history, the first African-American coach. And I was looking for Hubert Davis to he said it was significant, but he didn't give me any more. You know, the idea that I came to this university and that I'm the first black man to ever hold the head job, and what it means, it could open the door for so many other universities to open their eyes and give other guys, Chris, like me, that look like me, a chance to be a head coach in major college basketball. It's significant. I'm proud. I'm honored. I've told you a million times, Chris, in my entire career, 35 years and all the things I've done, in this business, newspaper, radio, television, everything. Being the first black sports columnist at the Detroit Free Press in 1993 is my biggest honor in my career, because I gave a chance to give the people of Detroit, the black people of Detroit, a voice on the sports pages.
Right.
But the white wife and the kids, what was that? I didn't
and
get
look,
it.
Let's say
explain
this,
it for me.
We're not against interracial marriage.
That's not what we're talking about.
That has nothing to do with this. Obviously, I got a lot of white blood in me. I don't have any white relatives that I know of. It was way, way, way back. But
all you got to do is look at the skin color. You're barely black.
I got a good number of white. So this isn't about interracial marriage or dating.
No.
It's just, where did this come from? Rob, when I first saw the headline, right?
Right.
University of North Carolina coach upsetting African Americans because he's proud to have a white wife. I can't imagine that a reporter asked him that.
Chris thought at the press conference and I was asking questions.
Right. I was really wondering, like, did somebody actually ask him what color his wife is or something to that effect? And then I watched the clip that we just played. And it was just like, he just brought it up out of nowhere. And the way he said it, obviously, you should be proud of your wife, whatever her race. If I was married to a white woman, I'd be proud of her. If I was married to an Asian woman, I'd be proud of her. I'm married to a black woman, I'm proud of her. Okay, we get that. But the way he said it, he didn't personalize it like my wife, give her name.
She's
a
wonderful person.
So
exactly.
Yeah, she stood by me, you know, when other people told me I didn't think I'd get a chance as an African-American to be a head coach here. And she stood by me. I'm so proud of her. I love her. Oh, no, you just bring out, I'm proud to have a white wife.
What was that? Where did that come from?
Right. I only see two I guess, three explanations. One, he misspoke, and he'll probably say that I misspoke, okay? Two, he may have felt, uh-oh, did I go too far?
Too much black news.
Right. Like I said, there's only been four black coaches here at North Carolina. Mate, did I go too far? I said only 26% of head coach. Did I go too far? You know? And then he wanted to soften it. Or three, he's one of those Negroes that thinks marrying a white person makes you better. We know we got those kind of Negroes. They think white people's water is better than black people's water. Their ice is colder. A white lawyer is automatically better than a black lawyer. That y'all know I'm not playing. You know that, Rob.
No, I know that.
I don't know. That's just a third explanation.
Well, can I
that
say
he
this?
He thought he got the ultimate trophy wife just because she's white.
And here's the other part that you didn't mention yet. He did himself some damage, Chris, for people who listen to that. And I'm not saying no one's going to North Carolina or they're not going to play for Hubert Davis, but there'll be some people who will look and an eyebrow or two will go up and go, what? What did he just say?
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't he just celebrate the moment of the achievement, which is tremendous? We both said it, Chris. I'm happy for him. I think right. That's awesome.
You asked several of our guests.
Right?
About it. On the show, yeah.
Absolutely. Do you think, Chris, am I wrong that there won't be some people who will just question Hubert Davis? That's all.
We both have families full of black women.
Yes.
Black women have had to live up, black women are judged by a white beauty standard and have been ever since blacks been in this country. And it is unfair, just like it would be unfair if a white women were judged by a black beauty standards their entire existence in a country. And black women are viewed as at the bottom, even by some black men.
Yep.
And again, you know I'm not lying, Rob. Even some black men are so blinded by white beauty standards that they put black women on the bottom. And this is something black women have to deal with. So as you said, Rob, there will be some black mothers who will look at Hubert Davis. I bet you there's been some black mothers that have a son that's a basketball player. They say, ain't no way my son's going there. Now, he's lucky that a lot of these great players today are biracial. And they got a black father in many cases and a white mother. And you see it from Jalen Suggs and Blake Griffin and Ben Simmons. It's a ton of them. So, obviously, he'll be able to get them LaMelo Ball. But some black women will be bothered by this. And, yes, I think it could affect them, Rob, and it possibly in recruiting.
Yeah, it was a fail, the press conference. That's that sound that people will have. That's that sound that other coaches or recruiters or Chris, when they send the brothers out to – do the original recruiting, you know what I mean, for coaches, right. You know what I mean? And they try to find anything to go, I don't know. Gilbert, did you hear his press conference? I'm just saying. I don't know. You know, are you sure what you're getting there? You know what I mean?
He
didn't help himself. It was very awkward. He was on the right track. He had all the numbers, Chris, so he did prepare. It wasn't like, oh, I don't know. Right. Am I the first black? It wasn't like that. So he was prepared for this. He knew it was coming. All he had to do was wrap himself around that he's proud to have this opportunity. And he hopes to open the doors, Chris, for others that look like him, you know, to be a coach at North Carolina. And I might be the first. But I hope after I leave here, I won't be the last.
Right.
That I'll do a great enough job that people will just take a look at coaches for their ability and give them the same opportunity I was given. I would love that, right?
Yeah. Well, Rob, you brought up an interesting point that he was prepared for that answer. He welcomed
was.
It. Steve, that's a significant point. He may have thought that out beforehand. And again, look, if I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe thought it out beforehand and just said it the wrong way. You know, but it didn't, it just, I chuckled when I heard, because it was like, what? Like, this comes out of the blue, and then his wording was just, it was, honestly, we talk now about race and white supremacy, racism and white supremacy. The way he worded it was in a white supremacist way. Because it was, I'm proud that I have a white wife. Like I've got the ultimate gold standard. Yeah, I'm proud that I reached that. Now, be proud of your individual wife, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Native American, whatever. But the way he said it put her whiteness on a pedestal, right. Not her. And it'll be interesting, Rod, because you're right. He blew an opportunity.
A golden opportunity.
He released a statement, but he didn't, at least what I saw, Rob G, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't see him address that point.
So what was the statement about? Why do you have to release a statement after the press conference?
Rob G, did you see it? It was basically just a generic statement about I'm proud to be the coach of North Carolina again. Look for it, Rob G, but I saw it, but it didn't address the wife or that comment, I should say. At least not that I saw.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You said yesterday in a comment that has really caught fire, gone viral, as the young folk would say. that Steph Curry's not a transcendent player. We talked about that. We debated it, argued it yesterday.
I won the debate.
Rob Parker, I think, you know my man Ray Ritter, yeah. PR guy, been there forever in Golden State. I'm not sure that Ray Ritter didn't take a snippet of your comments and play them for Steph before that game last night against Milwaukee because he erupted. He went for 41 points in a victory over Milwaukee. I'll give you a Milwaukee minus Giannis, but still, 41
points. They were down big. They were down in that game, Chris. Right? And I was like, oh, comeback. Wow.
What, I think he had 30 in the second half. So, Rob, when you talk about Steph, because remember Damian Lillard did it earlier. He didn't really go at him, but he just tweeted or made some comment. I don't know if it was a tweet or what, but where, you know, just kind of pointing to a difference now that they don't have all their stars and how it'd be harder on Steph, that kind of thing. And Steph went at him and gave him 62. And D-Lil said, yo, game recognized game afterwards. And he gave him love. So next time you want to go at Steph, make sure it's the offseason. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's all right. You know, I mean, when I checked the score, they were losing. I was like, okay.
You were going to write a column on that, right?
Right. You already know. I changed to the Masters column. Did you notice that? Because I told you for Deadspin.com, I was going to write a Steph column because we talked about it on the radio. I decided I'm not going to write it today. Today wasn't the right day. It just didn't feel right. I said, right. Steph double-crossed me with 41, and that's fine. But I'm sticking by it. And the thing that I love, and yeah, I was trending today earlier on Twitter, and people were like, now, you know what? Friends were like, hit me up like this, Chris. Now what did you do? Like, not oh, wow, that's great. Now what did you do? The bad boy, it's just a matter of figuring out what he did. But what I will say was I was pleasantly surprised at how many people were on my side, that they agreed with my take.
It wasn't a majority.
No. But it wasn't all everybody hammering me thinking I'm crazy.
It wasn't 100. Oh, it was more like 97-3, something like that.
I'd say 60-40. No?
What? No. Come on.
75-25. All I'm saying is this was Steph's year to kind of shake that. If he doesn't lead them to the playoffs, like Steph, when more than half the league makes the playoffs, and if Steph can't get them with the greatest defender, he's the greatest shooter.
You don't think he's the greatest coach.
No, that's what I was told.
No, that's by Draymond.
I know.
You know
I'm
what, Rob?
To Draymond.
I'm the greatest sports writer ever. All right, start saying that. All right. I mean, but here's the thing, Rob. I think you got to admit it. I don't know that you will. Steph is balling. He is facing, even last night, the 41 came on Drew Holiday, who is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. Maybe the best. Outstanding lockdown defender. And then every ball screen or dribble handoff, they were double teaming him. So he did it against Drew and then double teams. And he's facing double and sometimes triple teams every night because they ain't got to worry about nobody else.
That's what great players do. They go and against the double team.
And what he's doing is giving you 29 points, 48% shooting, 40% from three, a PR that's in the top 10 in the league, better than anybody on the Nets.
If they don't make the playoffs, Chris, if they don't make the playoffs with Steph putting up those numbers, what does it say?
Nothing. Okay. Says he don't have any help. You saw how bad they were. They got beat by 53 without him by a mediocre Raptors team. I've seen Kareem miss the playoffs in his prime. I've seen Oscar Robertson miss the playoffs his last 3 years in Cincinnati in his prime because he went to Milwaukee the next year and won the championship.
None of those guys proclaimed the greatest of anything.
No, Oscar Robertson was. Kareem
was the greatest player ever?
Kareem?
The greatest player ever?
Yeah, Oscar's been proclaimed that and Kareem too. Stop it!
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's our man, NBA champion, three-point sharpshooter, Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst, been challenging me to a game of horse. But hey, I'm not in Arizona, so what can I do? It's our man, Eddie House.
Wherever it's at, you're going to lose. Believe that. And first off, I didn't challenge you. I think you challenged me talking about how good you could shoot the ball. On the outside, how well you were shooting yourself.
Hey, let me get you on my court where I know the.
Hey man,
spots.
We could go to the moon. It ain't gonna make a difference.
It ain't gonna make right 100%. Eddie, I mean, you know, some out of shape sports writer talking to a guy who won an NBA championship. You know what I mean? I have my what?
Let's change the subject, Eddie. Brooklyn. First of all, I'm upset. I don't know if Rob is, but Kevin Durant hadn't even played.
I wanted to see him play, but he hasn't played
yet. I don't
get
what. I'm just wondering what's going on. But
here he is, Chris. He's taking his warm up off right now. Okay,
right,
they heard
great.
You.
Here we go.
All right,
yeah,
I'm watching.
We talked about this earlier, Eddie. Who is the most important net for their long-term success? Kevin Durant or James Harden, or maybe you even think it's Kyrie?
Man, I mean, when you talk about Kevin Durant or James Harden, that's almost a toss-up, you know, because I think both are dynamic players. Both are superstars, but they bring two different type of styles of play to the game. Kevin Durant, you know, he's going to score. But the way that James Harden facilitates,
right,
making everybody else better, with the ability to score almost at the same level, at the same level, I would think when I start talking a little bit more, I think they're both equally. But James, I would have to give him the nod just because of his playmaking ability.
How about the idea, though, that Durant has been there, done that, won a couple championships, Harden has melted down, not every single time in the postseason, Eddie, but he's had some big meltdowns. What about – that's why I would pick Durant, because he's been there, done that, been the MVP in the finals, has made big shots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean, but remember when he made that move to Golden State, I think a lot of people was getting on him for saying, hey, why didn't you just stay in OKC?
Right.
Y'all had him down. Ride that wave out if you're the superstar that you're supposed to be. So I think, you know, when you look at it in that light, to say that at some point you're going to need help and more than one guy, and you're going to need, you know, two guys that are going to be superstars around you to elevate your game. Are we having this same conversation about Kevin Durant if he doesn't join Golden State and we say, do you think he wins championships in OKC? Probably not, because he had two fantastic players with him, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So I think you got to win it. Somebody, you got to break your maiden at one point when you are really one of those thoroughbreds. And especially, I think James Harden's in a perfect position right now, and I think he's embracing his role and understanding like how great he is by what he's doing on both in both aspects as far as scoring and facilitating.
Eddie, is there a possibility? Because I went with Durant just because he hasn't had the meltdowns that Harden has in the playoffs, and I'm not totally convinced that Harden won't do that again. I would bet against it, but I'm not totally convinced. But you make a good point. I mean, KD had done that.
So wait, let me ask you this. Do you consider that 3-1 a meltdown?
No, right, yeah, because he didn't play
well. That has to be a meltdown. So he has had a meltdown in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he has won, though. But the difference is he has won where Harden has never won.
Let me ask you this, though, Eddie, because I contend that it obviously – I give Durant credit, but it was easier, obviously, with Golden State. Let me ask you this. Is there a scenario where Harden – you know, let's say they win it this year, they win it next year. Obviously, Durant keeps getting rings, even as Harden would get two. But is there a scenario where Harden could surpass Durant in terms of historical greatness? They're both all-time greats, obviously. But, you know, like, because I agree, it's very close. I mean, Harden is a bad boy, and he's more versatile, obviously, on the offensive end. Is there a scenario you could see where he could, you know, years from now, people are thinking he's greater than KD?
Oh, I think you with that one, that's a tough one. Only time will tell. You know, this is why I say that. If Harden continues to do what he does, you know, as far as like the numbers of these triple doubles that he's having with these astronomical numbers on the point side, if he's able to continue to score like a leading scorer in the, like, I can really contend to be the best scorer in the league, but also can lead and assist. Right. I mean, you start talking a different dynamic. I mean, we'll go back to Trae Young doing it in college. That's a phenomenal feat when you are you can lead the country in scoring and also lead the country in assists. If somebody is able to do that in the league, I mean, that is something to be spoken about. And I think, you know, you have to take a step back and say, hey, is that feat more impressive than this feat? And depending on your point of view, you know, right. I would have to say it is. I mean, I don't know.
Archibald, he led the league in scoring and assists one year, but they didn't
amazing.
Win. But yeah, he didn't win. But they, you know, I mean, I don't even think they made the playoffs, Kansas City.
Oh, but, okay. You didn't make the playoffs, but I'm saying making the playoffs, that's something different than having a chance
right.
to compete for a
doing
championship.
It, right.
And
right.
doing that, that's a different level right there. That's totally different.
Hey, Eddie, what do you make of DeMarcus Cousins and the Clippers? Is that going to work?
I mean, we'll see, man. I just hope he can stay healthy, to be honest with you. I think a healthy DeMarcus Cousins out there is definitely an upgrade at that position for a lot of teams, and it will definitely help the Clippers. It's just a matter of can he stay healthy. I mean, we know his talent level is phenomenal when he is healthy, but that's been the problem. You know, the best ability is availability. He hasn't been available here of late. So, I mean, I hope that he's able to get out on the floor. I just want to see the best players out there playing
right.
and have an opportunity to bang against each other, to get that good bump out there where everybody out there looking and watching and saying, man, this is some good basketball. And bring light to how great the NBA is, man, because when it's really rocking, man, there ain't nothing like it, I'm telling you.
Eddie, I'm not sure if you saw the ESPN 25 best players under 25.
Yeah, I've seen that. They did Devin Booker, Dusty, and LaMelo Ball. No way.
Right. Tell Chris.
Let me tell you what I say about LaMelo. It was based on future potential. So it's not now. Obviously, LaMelo wouldn't be in the top 10.
Well, potentially walk outside and find $1 million, right? But until you did it, you ain't did it, right?
But hold on. Here's what I'm saying. All right. LaMelo Ball at 19 years old as a starter, 21 games, was averaging 19-6-6, 48% shooting, no, 46% shooting, and 42.5% shooting from three. That's over a two-month period. They went 11-10. The only 19-year-old ever to play that well at 19 was LeBron. Not Kobe, not KG, not Tracy McGrady, LeBron. And so that's all I'm saying. There's no way LaMelo can ball with Booker at this point. But I'm just saying that's why I could see it from a potential standpoint.
Yeah, but it's a short sample size.
You said 21 games, though, and you got a guy who's had seasons and seasons and still is under 25. He's proven over seasons and is still under 25. That should give him the nod, I think, over all of these guys who haven't had as many seasons that haven't proven.
Should he have been number one?
I mean,
Luka was number one.
Luka is amazing. I'm telling you, Luka is amazing. But it's a short sample size, too. So I think as we talk about potential, I'd much rather have a for show database and say, hey, this is what happened, over I could potentially make this kind of money or I potentially did make this type of money. I like to go with for shows and other than maybes, you know?
I'm with you.
All right, that's our man. You lucky they telling me to break, because I would just squash.
Hey, Eddie, when people tell me maybe, you know what I say? In my world, maybe means no.
Right, for sure. You already know that. Maybe already telling you no out the door.
Exactly.
That's our man, Eddie House, NBA champion. We appreciate it, bro.
No doubt, man. Y'all take care.
All right, peace.